www.ChristianCommunity.com. Well, good morning. Okay, good morning. Give me at least one good shout out there this morning as we get started on the message aspect. This is kind of the, I guess, unofficial intro, because I don't really have an official intro, but just mostly sharing with you that I hope this morning that you're just encouraged by what we're about to dive into in Scripture and in some time in prayer and that sort of thing. I know that there are these big heavy issues that in many cases in our lives, and that can weigh us down. But you know, on top of those big heavy issues that we all, and I know you're all going, what are you talking about? but on top of those big heavy issues, you know, there's still all the little things that get added onto it, and sometimes it just takes one of those small things to really, you know, almost be one of those straws that broke the camel's back. I don't know if you've been experiencing that at all, but you know, aside from dealing with all of the big massive issues, one thing goes wrong and it's like the end of the world. And I don't know about you, but I've had that feeling like multiple times this week. So as I kind of dove into this scripture passage, it's one that I feel like I'm grabbing onto as much as I can right now too. So I hope that that will be true for you. So we're in second week of our series called Start in the Middle. And the reason we're calling it that, we're spending some time in a really powerful passage of Scripture. It's right in the middle of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. And we worked through quite a bit of the chapter last week, pretty much in depth. But here's a little recap of what we had talked about. Paul had spent seven chapters laying out his case for Jesus that led up to this pretty pivotal verse, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's one that hopefully we can cling to. It's a major passage of hope for us who are followers of Christ, who have put our faith and trust in Jesus. But then he began to talk about how those who are in Christ Jesus, you and me, are now supposed to live by and walk in the Spirit, right? When we live according to the Spirit, the Spirit that God puts within us when we come to faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, it means that we're called to live on a higher plane, right? To live for Jesus and the things of the Spirit rather than the things of the flesh or earthly stuff, worldly things. Well, if we want to please God, we need to walk in and live by that Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And Paul reminds us, this is who you are now. Right? This is what your life is supposed to be about. We no longer live in the flesh, but we now walk by and live in the Spirit. And when we do that, when we strive for that, then all kinds of good things come into play for us as followers of Jesus. We get eternal life. It's kind of a big deal, right? We get eternal life. We're no longer slaves to fear, he says. But instead, we're children of God. We're his adopted children, brought into his family, and he loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. We're also heirs. As his children, we have these rights and privileges as his children, and we also have this hope of an inheritance that's waiting for us, the hope of heaven. Okay, so that's what Paul talks about, and we'll see that in verse 16 where we're going to pick it up this week. So if you want to turn there or follow in your Bible apps, Romans 8:16. But I'll say this, Paul is kind of ramping up talking about these good things that we have in store when we live by and walk in the Spirit, but he's just getting started. So there's so much more for us to grab onto. So we're going to pick it up, as I said, in Romans 8:16. He writes, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We'll pause there for a second. I know as you hear those words, I kind of go, ooh. There are just a couple of words in that passage that I don't really like to hear, right? Suffer. Sufferings. That's even worse because it's like the plural form of suffer, right? It means it's going to happen more than once and probably more than just twice too then, right? It's going to happen many times. Paul says, look, we're going to suffer in this world. But he also says that when we do, we're suffering with him. We're suffering with him. The word here is soumpasco, and it refers to experiencing suffering, but suffering of the same kind or same likeness of someone else. Right? So what he's saying is look, when we suffer with him in some of the same ways that Jesus suffered, well, we're suffering together. Right? Like, he's with us in this. We're with him in this. We can relate to him in this. And he's with us in it too. So think about that for a moment. Whenever you are acted upon with ill intent or mistreatment, especially when it's for the sake of Jesus, you are suffering with him. And he is with you in it. Whenever you are suffering from evil, whenever you are suffering as a result of evil, when you are in agony, when you're enduring an affliction or going through difficulties or facing persecution specifically for the sake of Jesus, you and Jesus are in it together. We're in it together. Right now, I say for the sake of Jesus because let's face it, sometimes we bring difficulty upon ourselves. Right? We're tangled up, we get tangled up in sin, or things start going badly, and we end up facing these painful consequences for kind of like our dumb decisions that we make, because we all make them. That's not the same kind of thing. Like, Jesus never did any of those things, so we don't put those on him. We can't share in that together in that way. In fact, the point of what Paul's writing about here, living by and walking in the Spirit, is so that we avoid that stuff, right? We are not in the flesh, we're in the Spirit. But when you are facing difficulty due to our fallen world, due to sinful actions of someone else, due to persecution because of your faith, he's in it with you. You're in it with him. More importantly, Paul says he wants us to know this, that in everything we're going through, there is light at the tunnel's end, right? There is light at the tunnel's end. It's kind of the first theme for this morning. Not the big idea, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. We know we're not living in the ideal world that God created for us. We're not living in the world he wants it to be because sin has entered the picture. It's messed it all up. It's marred it. It's marred what he's created. So none of what we're living in is close to the ideal. And Paul says we see this specifically in two areas. We're going to see that in the next few verses. Verse 19, he says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons, and it implies daughters as well, the sons and daughters of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Right? So there's this dark tunnel for creation, but there's a light at the end of it. In verse 22, it says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. So there's a futility in creation. Like, our world, as beautiful as it is, it still experiences decay and ruin. Things wither and die. things get destroyed. And when you look around, there are some things we see that we go, that's just not right. Something's just not right. So we see droughts and plagues and wildfires and pestilence and natural disasters like earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, right? We see sickness and disease. We see places where food and water are scarce. There's something out of order about what we're seeing in nature. It's just not right. Now, it's not always going to be that way, right? God is going to bring it to perfection. He's going to, like Paul said, set creation free from its bondage to corruption and perfect it. But right now, creation is waiting. And you know what it's waiting for? It's waiting for us. It's waiting for us. Verse 19 says, it's waiting till all of us who are going to come become God's children have been brought into the kingdom. So creation is waiting for us. And yet, for creation, there is light at the end of the tunnel. So that's his first example. Verse 23, then he says, and not only the creation, but we ourselves. Right? We who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Okay, so the second example he gives is in humanity, and specifically it's like these falling apart bodies that we have. Right? We're fallen. We're sinful as people. We're subject to futility as well. Our bodies get sick, they break down, and they die. They stop working the way they're supposed to. Our memory fades. Our eyes grow dim and our hearing gets lost. But all that's going to be changed. In eternity, we get this new body, one that will be perfect for us and it will last forever. Isn't going to fall apart on us. Isn't going to break down. It will be suitable to last for all eternity. Whether that eternity is spent with him or apart from him, we'll get this new body. Now, that hasn't happened yet. So, he says, we're inwardly groaning. And I don't know about you, but at times, I'm outwardly groaning, right? And outwardly creaking is probably a good sound too, right? That's what's happening from a physical standpoint. In fact, maybe some of us are outwardly groaning literally from the physical pain that we're going through. Because we are waiting. We're waiting for our adoption as children and the redemption of our bodies, our broken down bodies. Right? So for all of humanity, for you and me, even in our physical body, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Right? So verse 24, for in this hope we were saved. For in this hope we were saved. And that brings to kind of a key idea I want us to consider just for a moment with what Paul is talking about here. And that's this, for those that belong to Jesus, who live by and walk by the Spirit, here's the key idea, God's future overshadows our current difficulty. Right? God's future overshadows our current difficulty. Now that's not always easy to let sink in, let penetrate for us, but it is a truth that he wants us to cling to. God's future overshadows our current difficulty. It's true of any current difficulty that we can name. Right? Think of a scenario, any scenario, and I promise you, an eternity of heaven will far surpass a lifetime of hardship. Even though it's difficult for us to see that far. It overshadows, God's future overshadows any physical issue that we are dealing with. It overshadows any financial struggle that we are dealing with. God's future overshadows any emotional issue, any mental health issue that we're battling. God's future overshadows any sadness, any sorrow, any disappointment, any depression that you'll ever face. God's future overshadows any way in which you've been sinned against, whether you've been abandoned, whether you've been rejected, whether you've been abused, neglected, God's future overshadows any way you've been treated wrongly or unfairly. It overshadows any kind of injustice that you've gone through. Now again, we don't feel that as much right now. It's hard to see that, but God's future overshadows our current difficulty. And that's why Paul said what he did in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. And Paul was someone who knew a thing or two about suffering. Right? We're not going to dive into all that, but you could read about it throughout various places in Scripture. He went through a lot for the sake of Christ. And yet, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Unfortunately, it sometimes feels like a really long tunnel, doesn't it? It takes a long time to get through the darkness, to reach the end of a really difficult road. But this is where the story or the page turns a little bit. There's something that the Holy Spirit gives us while we're making our way through this long, dark, depressing tunnel at times. And that's hope. Right? That's hope. For in this hope we were saved, verse 24 says. In this hope we were saved. The Holy Spirit gives us hope. And we'll experience that hope if we stay living by and walking in the Spirit. And Paul reminds us about hope. He says, now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So God doesn't give us hope. The Holy Spirit doesn't give us hope for what we already have in our possession. It's given to us because there's something we lack. Maybe something we need. But in the meantime, we need something that can help us endure what we're going through until we get to that point. Right? Because we have things we lack. We need something to carry us through. God's future overshadows our current difficulty, but we're not there yet. So what do we do in the meantime? This eternity we have to look forward to, we don't have it now. This not broken down body, we don't have it now. We'll have it someday, but in the meantime, we need to endure. And we need something to help us do that. We need something to bridge a gap. And the something God gives by the power of his Holy Spirit is hope. Because hope is for the wait. And that's kind of the second thing about this passage this morning. Hope is for the wait. I don't know about you, but I think the hardest part about waiting for anything is when it's something that we don't know how long it's going to be. Right? There are certain things that we have to wait for, and we know how long it's going to take. When someone gets engaged or sets a date for a wedding, yes, plans could change, and they often do, but for the most part, everyone knows exactly how long it's going to be. So you can start counting down the days. When you plan a vacation or a trip, it seems like it takes forever to arrive, but you know exactly how long it's going to be before that time comes, unless it gets like postponed 3 or 4 times, like the Wittens experience, right? But generally, we know how long it's going to take. Our days on this planet are numbered. God knows exactly how long we'll be alive on this earth, but we don't. He knows exactly how many breaths we're going to take, but we don't. And when things are bleak, we need to hang in there, we need to endure, and God gives us what we need to make it through. He gives us hope. But we're only going to experience that hope when we live by and walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He gives us hope because hope is intended for us while we wait. Hope is for the wait. In verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Right? So that's another reason we need to continue to live by and walk in the Spirit, because we need help And the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit wants to help us in our weakness. He wants to give us the strength that we need to keep carrying on. And he continues, "For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Have you ever been in a place like that where things were dark and difficult, so much so that you didn't even know what to pray, like what to ask God for? I mean, have you ever been like so out of sorts that it's like, I don't even know where to begin? Like you're so weary and you're beat up and the words don't even come out. I don't know, I think a lot of us have probably experienced that, but I think more significantly, I think a lot of us in this church, whether it's those who are here or those who are at home, you know, in a lot of ways, it feels like maybe we're slipping towards that place, right? Even if we're not there, it feels like slowly we're like in this quicksand that is pulling us under. Holy Spirit, Paul says, helps us in our weakness. Even when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And again, Paul says, look, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Remember that. There is light at the end of the tunnel. God's future for us will overshadow any current difficulty that we're facing. And yes, the tunnel may seem long, but in the meantime, he wants to give us hope for the wait. In fact, there's a prayer that Paul writes for them towards the end of Romans. It's in Romans chapter 15, and I think we have that verse on the screen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Abound in hope. I don't know about you, but that idea of abounding in hope. Like, I have hope, but I'm not sure the word abound is always tied to that. And yet that's what Paul prays for us. That's what God longs for us to have. That's what the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to give us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. You're going to get that hope from him. He is the God of hope. He gives it out. He's the one who can make us abound in that. We just sang the song, Wait for You. And Bob, that's a song that I think Bob shared earlier. It's been on his heart, but it's also one of those songs that is very relevant to this morning. And as we are probably in a place, a need for hope, and we're certainly in a place of waiting, this morning, we want to take some time and hear those words and hear that song once again. Encourage you to worship and sing along. And then as we come to the end of the song, we want to open for just a few minutes of prayer where we can simply express to the Lord our needs, where we might be in a place that we need hope, where we're feeling hopeless, where we're having difficulty. And look, maybe you're here today and you're not feeling that, you're not sensing that. Okay. But I'm sure you know others who are. And so pray for them. Pray for them. But let me just say one more time, there is a light for us at the end of the tunnel. And even though the tunnel's long, there is hope for the wait. We want to cling to that, cling to the God of hope, and trust that he will give that to us this morning. So let's worship, and then we'll take some time to pray together. Need for God to bring hope, to bring light, to bring life into that particular area. And I want to just invite you, if you're here or if you're at home, and I know this might feel awkward, it's not that we're trying to put anyone on the spot, but just to be able to express in a way that we are crying out to God, that we're reaching out to God. And I want to just invite you to stand where you're at, maybe lift your hands, raise your hands to Him, and just join in this moment of prayer. If there's something for you that you just need to say, God, I need to offer this to you. And as this is not like one of those moments that is singling anyone out, but just encourage you to express it. And say, God, we know that you have this incredible hope for us that is waiting for us at the end of this life when you return, whichever comes first. And like Paul wrote, that you are a God of hope. You want to fill us with joy. You want to fill us with peace. You want to fill us with hope. There are areas in our life that we just can't see through the fog, and we need you to bring us hope so that we can endure, so that we can faithfully run after you, so that we can keep chasing after you like you're chasing after us. We don't want to shrink back. We don't want to give up. We don't want to fall away in the difficulty of the things that we're facing. We want to keep pursuing you. And God, maybe this morning there's even people who have something on their heart that is just so overwhelming, we can't even put words to it. We don't even know what to pray in this moment, but you know, and you care. And I pray that you, by your Spirit, would speak into that dark place, into that difficult place, into that uncertainty, into that anxiety, into that depression, into whatever it is that each of us is going through that needs to be sparked hope once again. And God, we're going to trust that you're going to do that in an incredible way. We're crying out to you. We're standing. We're lifting our hands. We're reaching out. Or just in the quietness of our heart, we're saying, God, we need you. We need your hope. And we're asking you for it. We're not going to go chasing after it in something else. We're not going to try and fill it with something else, but we're going to wait for you. We're going to wait until you meet us in that place, because you promised you are with us as we're suffering and you care more for us than anyone or anything else in this world ever could. And so we want to wait for you and put our trust in you. And we pray sustain us, but that it would abound in us, that it would be big, that it would overshadow the difficulty that we're facing. Give us hope. We're asking for this. We're trusting in your word, and we're asking for you to meet us in the place that we're in right now. Fill us with hope. As the God of hope, fill us with hope by the power of knowing that you're with us. Thank you for hearing our heart's cry. Thank you for hearing what's on our mind, what's in our heart, what's troubling our spirit. And we trust you for that answer. We trust you for that hope. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. We're going to close with a song or two of worship. Just invite you all to stand at this time, and let's continue.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.